about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening as we point you and bring you to the Word of God. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, beginning at verse 1, it tells us these words of wisdom. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6, all of that particular psalm. Then looking in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Verses 1 through 33, all of Ephesians chapter 5. Lord, what a blessing, what a privilege it is. What a great opportunity it is for us to be able to open your word and hear from you, hear from heaven every single day of our lives. Father, thank you for the wonderful gift your word is to us, and thank you for the opportunity for us to hear and obey your word each and every day. Lord, open our minds, our hearts, and our understanding to be wide open to that which your Spirit would teach us today, and anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of each of us so that we'll be abundantly receptive to your word and your will and your Spirit. Help us to grow tremendously this day in our understanding of the great gift, the great weapon, the great blessing your word is to us, and the ways we can put that word to work every day of our lives. We thank you, and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker, and today we want to look specifically at the topic, Seven powerful uses for God's word. Seven powerful uses for God's word. I want to share with you seven things you can do with God's word that will help you grow strong in the Lord, that will edify you, that will build you up, that will help you become a much more vibrant and spirit-empowered Christian, and ways that God's word can really equip you to be a much more efficient believer and a much more powerful believer used of God in the power of the Holy Spirit to get God's work done. So remember this, God's word is the most powerful weapon in all of life, in all of the world, bar none. There's no weapon in the world of any type more powerful than the word of God. And so keep in mind, when you commit yourself to reading and meditating on God's word and putting God's word to work in your life, you become a tool that God can use mightily to accomplish his will in the world. All the problems in the world are a result of violating the wisdom of God's word. Every problem, every wrong, every sin, every crime is a result of violating the word of God, going against the word of God. And problems get solved when God's word is applied, when God's wisdom, his counsel, is applied to the situations, the concerns, the lives of individuals, the lives of families, the lives of communities, states, nations, worlds. So remember, God's word really is the answer to everything. So we need to get much more use and put the word of God into much greater use in our lives. The word of God is many, many things to us. The word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the word of God. And also remember this there. Again, here are the seven things that I want to encourage you to keep in mind. Seven things, ways that we can use God's word as a powerful weapon in our lives. Here those seven things are. You can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. Now, keep in mind, all seven uses are similar, but none of them are quite the same thing. Let me repeat them again. You can seven powerful things you can do with God's word to put it to work in your life. Again, you can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Again, all are related. None of them are the same. You can read God's word and not really hear it. You can hear God's word, but not choose to believe it. You can read the word of God, but not speak the word of God, speak the promises of God. You can believe the word of God, but not choose to pray the word of God. Sometimes a person can hear the word of God, but not choose to put it into action. You can pray the word of God again, but not choose to really meditate on it like you should. So again, all of them are related, but none of them are quite the same thing. Many believers read God's word, but don't really spend time reading, mulling, and meditating on the word. That's a good thing to do, to spend time not only just reading, but also spending time really meditating and thinking on the word of God. When you read and meditate on God's word, it's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to open up truth to you, to give revelation to you in the midst of your reading and meditating. I often encourage believers to have the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in the word of God every day. The reason being is, 3 chapters a day is a good spiritual meal for any believer. Now, some believers read maybe 1 verse out of a devotional book. Now, understand this, that's better than nothing. But keep in mind, reading 1 verse out of a devotional book and saying that's your spiritual meal for the day is kind of like eating a half a teaspoon of cornflakes and saying you've eaten for the day. Keep in mind, it may not do a whole lot more beyond whetting your appetite. You need to have a good meal of the word of God every single day. In the Gospel of John, chapter 21, it has a wonderful story about Jesus and his disciples. And Jesus has risen from the dead, and he meets his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And they've fished all night, didn't catch anything. But when the Lord told them where to fish, they've caught a boatload of fish. And so they catch the fish, they come to shore, and they find Jesus on the shore. And Jesus has already fixed breakfast. And he invites them, and he says, and the King James translation says, his invitation to his disciples is, come and dine. Now, keep in mind, yes, without question, he's inviting them to come enjoy the fish breakfast he's cooked. And understand that was probably the best fish anyone ever tasted, cooked directly by Jesus himself, okay? But also, keep in mind, not only is Jesus inviting them to eat the breakfast that he has prepared, the invitation is much bigger than that. When he says, again, as the King James Bible specifically says, when he says, come and dine, not only is he inviting them to come and dine on the fish and the bread he has prepared. He's inviting us also to come and dine on the Word of God. In fact, that's an invitation God lays out to each and every one of us every single day. He doesn't say nibble on the Word. He doesn't say snack on the Word. He doesn't say take a bite or two. His words in John chapter 21 are come and dine. Every day of your life, you have the privilege of dining on the Word of God. That is, really spending time taking in, consuming the precious and powerful Word of God. Remember, when you're reading the Word of God, it's pouring grace and peace and power and light into your mind, your heart, and your life. You need that. I need that. We all need that. Remember, God's Word can give you guidance when no one else or nothing else can. It can empower you in every part of your life. And remember, God's Word has anointing on it, and it is anointing. And so when you read the Word of God, you're taking in more of God's anointing into your mind and your life. You need it. We need it. We all need that. So one of the wisest commitments you can make to yourself as a believer is commit yourself to the habit of opening the Word of God every day and reading. Now, again, three chapters a day is a good basic spiritual meal. But if you choose to go beyond that, wonderful. You can't get too much of God's Word, and you can't overeat. It only increases the blessing. And remember, so when you read the Word, it's going to pour grace, peace, power, light, joy, strength, and encouragement into your mind, into your heart, into your life. Again, you need it. I need it, and parents, we need to teach and train our children to read the Word so they too can receive the tremendous benefit. And again, it's a tremendous benefit and blessing that comes from reading, simply reading and spending time in the Word of God. So as I said today, we're looking at seven powerful uses you can get out of God's Word. But remember this, we start with the reading of God's Word. If you're not making time to read God's Word, you're missing out on so much. You really, really are. Again, keep in mind, one of the most valuable and important things you'll do today is spend time with God in His Word. Remember, when you're reading the Word of God, the Creator of the universe, God our Heavenly Father, is talking directly to you. You're not talking to God's secretary. You're talking to God when you read the Bible. And when God talks to you, He's not just giving you information. He's pouring power and light and grace and direction into your life. He's pouring revelation into your life. He's giving you guidance and direction and counsel that will bless you in every part of your life. It empowers us also when we read the Word of God. It empowers you to be more effective at whatever you do. Whether you're a preacher, a janitor, a lawyer, a farmer, a doctor, whatever you might be, remember, reading God's Word empowers you to be more effective. You may say, how does it do that? Well, God's Word has anointing on it, and anointing, God's anointing enhances whatever is inside of you already. Make time today to read God's Word. It will bless you in a way that nothing else will. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for every listener. And thank you for the privilege we have of being able to open your Word every single day. Father, anoint the mind and heart and understanding of each listener with an even greater anointing so that each of us will be that much more committed, or will choose to commit ourselves to making it a high priority to open your Word every day and just simply spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of counsel, words of wisdom, words of life, words of power, words of blessing, words of encouragement to our minds and our hearts. Lord, help us to understand this, that in the course of a day, there's basically nothing we need to do more than spend time with you in your Word. Help us to know, Lord, there's so much you'll do in us and through us, the molding, the shaping, the empowering, the guidance that will come. So many good things will happen as we spend time with you in your Word. Help us to make that one of the high priorities of our day every single day. And help us as parents to help and teach and train our children to do the same thing. We thank you and we praise you for the wonderful gift of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be right back.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
Can you imagine what the Pharisees thought after they learned of Saul's Damascus Road experience? Saul had been to the Sanhedrin and gotten permission to kill anybody that looked like they could have been Christian. And now he's had this life-changing experience on the Damascus Road that in an essence and an instant changed him from a killer to an apostle. We too are changed when we come in contact with the Lord. A true encounter, a true experience. You can imagine, and many a picture has depicted, the people's reaction to Paul after his conversion. He didn't act the same and he didn't talk the same. So I have a question for you. Can anyone tell that you've had an encounter with the Lord? It's not about how big your Bible is. It's not about if you can quote every scripture from the Bible and give its reference. It's all about your life change and how you live. Thank him today for your transformation. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, we know that Mount Everest is the tallest mountain in the world. Was that also covered by the waters of Noah's flood?
Chris, the Bible says that the entire earth was covered by water, but I really don't think Mount Everest existed at the time of the flood. Mount Everest, and indeed all the mountain chains in the world, are made up of ocean bottom sediments. These sediments were deposited as mud at the bottom of the flood ocean. Late in the flood, they were uplifted into our present mountain chains. In fact, at the top of Mount Everest are fossils of ocean-bottom clams. This does not mean that the floodwaters sloshed over Mount Everest. Sediments which now make up Mount Everest were deposited at the bottom of the flood ocean and then uplifted to form Mount Everest. Chris, the entire world was altered by the great flood of Noah's day. This we're told when we go back to Genesis.
You can find us on the web at www.icr.org.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
My heart cries, my heart cries.
music of Covenant Church, the song My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk in the Book of Psalms. Psalm 63 is a powerful psalm that draws out that powerful theme. Psalm 63, beginning at verse 1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of those who speak lies shall be stopped. All of Psalm 63, again, a psalm about seeking God early and a longing, a heart that's crying out for God. Lord, thank you for every listener. Lord, help us to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to reading and meditating on your word each and every day. Lord, help us to realize that so much grace, so much good, so much blessing, so much power is poured into our minds and our hearts as we simply spend time at your feet reading and meditating on your word. Lord, guide us so that with every passing day, we'll grow in our understanding of the need for us to make this a high priority and empower us to make it one of the high priorities of our life, to spend time daily, significant time reading, meditating on your word, listening to your words of wisdom, counsel, and power for our lives. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again today, our topic is we're looking at seven powerful uses for God's precious word. Again, remember, at least seven things you can do with God's word daily. You can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Again, they're all related. None of them are quite the same thing. Again, you can read the Word of God, but not choose to speak the promises of God's Word. You can hear the Word of God, but not choose to pray the Word of God. Again, all of them are blessings. All of them are ways of for you and I to receive benefit from time in using God's Word in our lives. But it's things we need to decide we're going to do, deliberately putting the word of God to use in these ways and areas in our lives. Now remember, God's word is the most powerful weapon in the world. It's the most powerful weapon in the world. It was by the word of God that Jesus was raised from the dead. And there are many things that, again, happen by the word of God on a day-by-day basis. Now remember this, the Bible is It's food for our spirit. It's a source of guidance, wisdom. It's the heart of God, the mind of God. It's that and so much more. Now, in some instances, you find people look at the Bible in an academic way. And you can study it academically as well. But keep in mind, it's not strictly an academic exercise when you read and study the Word of God. It's a spiritual exercise. It's a means of feeding your spirit. It empowers you. It guides you. And it's good to really take the Word of God as a serious book that you're studying because, again, as you study it, again, you're listening to God, but also helps you grow in your insight and your understanding of God and how God is at work in our lives. Now, remember this, the Bible is made up of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it's divided into law, Genesis through Deuteronomy. Those first five books make up what's known as the law in the Old Testament. And then there's the history books. Judges through Esther make up what's known as Old Testament history. The poetry books include Job through the book of Song of Solomon, those five books. The major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Those are the major prophets. The minor prophets are Hosea through Malachi. And the difference largely is space. Major prophets have a lot more space in Scripture than the minor prophets. Doesn't mean that those persons were more important, but they had more space. In the New Testament, you have the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You also have church history. The book of Acts makes up church history in the New Testament. Then you have the letters, which make up the bulk of the New Testament, starting with the book of Romans all the way through the book of Jude. And then finally, prophecy, the book of Revelation. Again, 66 books. All of them are the inspired Word of God. They give us counsel, guidance, and direction. Remember, God's Word helps you know what's right, what's wrong, what honors God, what dishonors God. That's why it's so important that we as the people of God, we the church, put the Word of God to work in our lives today, because we live in a world where in so many instances the world wants to make up its own rules. The world wants to decide what's right and what's wrong, and you see the world messing up in so many ways and bringing so much destruction into the world because people, when people try to make up their own rules and don't follow God, we always get ourselves in lots of trouble. The Word of God says, without a vision, the people perish. And so it's critical that we look to God's Word to help us know what's right, what's wrong, what's proper, what's not proper, what helps people, what hinders people, what gives life to people, what destroys people. Remember, disobedience to God's Word ultimately leads to death. It's not just a matter of something that's displeasing to the Lord. Ultimately, sin will kill people. Sin will bring destruction on those involved in it. And it's important that we know and understand that. Remember, when God tells us in His Word to do something, basically it's as if He's saying, do this because it will bring greater blessing into your life. When God says, don't do something, basically the truth behind it is, don't do this because it will lead ultimately to death. Now, you might think, well, I know of some sin and things people have done and they're not dead. Well, sooner or later, sin always leads to death. And so we need to understand that's what's true and live in an understanding of that truth as well. In the book of Romans, for example, Romans chapter 1, it's a powerful chapter that lays out some basic truths about life and the church and the people of God. Romans chapter 1 tells us these words. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if, by some means, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you, just as among the other Gentiles. I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Verses 1 through 32, all of the book of Romans, chapter 1. A very important thing for us to be mindful of is that, remember this, God's word is the source of wisdom and guidance and counsel from which we, the people of God, draw direction. Remember, it's the word of God that lets us know what's right, what's wrong, what is correct and what is incorrect as well. Remember, when the world tries to set its own rules, as we said, they get in trouble. Found here in the wisdom and the counsel of Romans chapter 1, that's where, again, amongst other things, it lets us know clearly that homosexuality is against the word of God. It's against the will of God as well. And it's important to know, too, not just that issue, all issues. If you want to know what's right and wrong, you look to God's word. Now, again, we're not called to set our own rules in this world, because remember, when people set their own rules, again, they'll vary from one person to the next. We think of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments help us know what is the will of God. And again, also, when you follow God's word, it shows you how to ultimately walk in the love of God, first towards God and towards each other as well. So remember, when you read and hear the word of God and you choose to obey the word of God, that will always lead to blessing. So again, remember, as we said, 7 uses for God's word that we can put to work every day. We should read the word of God, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Let's take time now. I want you to pray the Ten Commandments with me. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Help us this day, Lord, to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Today we're looking at the topic of 7 powerful uses for God's word. Again, these are 7 things you can do with God's word, ways to put the word of God to work in your life to help you to become a much more fruitful disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, you can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it as well. I want to encourage you to make it your goal to put God's word to work in each of these ways in your life every single day. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
What's going on? It's your man Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the track stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go.
Hi, I'm Sean. After 16 treatments, I didn't think there was anything anybody could do for me anymore. I decided to come into Teen Challenge. It's just changed my life forever. I am free.
If you know an adult or teenager who's struggling with a chemical addiction, Teen Challenge can help. Call us today at 417-581-2181 or reach us online at teenchallengeusa.com. This is Urban Family Talk.
Satan is a defeated enemy, but that doesn't mean he isn't powerful and dangerous. Dr. Tony Evans says it takes spiritual authority to beat him and explains how we can get it as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Jesus Christ was enthroned by God the Father, and all powers came unto him, including the power of demons. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 says Jesus Christ sits over all authority as head of the church. But what the beautiful thing is that the Bible declares we have been raised with him. We have been raised in Christ. We have been seated in Christ. We are in heavenly places with Christ. It is not your authority. It is his authority that you use. If you don't learn to use the authority of Christ, you can't beat the one Satan beat. He knows you, he can handle you, but he knows he can't handle Christ. So the strategy of the devil is to keep you from living your life in Christ. Because as long as you are dissected from Christ, the power of God will not be shared with you. In order for you to have authority, you must first be under authority.
Stop being a victim of the spiritual battle going on around you. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll show you how to break the bonds Satan uses to keep us down, including traps like substance abuse or sexual, emotional, or relational issues. Get a copy of Victory in Spiritual Warfare today by visiting us at TonyEvans.org. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man who doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man who doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night, for he is like a tree that's planted by
listening to music from Cam, the song Psalm 1. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Once again, I want to remind you, we're looking today at the topic of seven powerful uses for God's Word. That is, seven things you can do with God's Word to put the Word of God to work in your life. And remember, do this for yourself, but also make it your goal to try to teach and share some of these truths with other believers. Now, let me remind you, too, if you'd like to get a copy of the outline of what we're dealing with today, you're welcome to email me at this email, jparker@afa.net. And, of course, I'll be glad to send to you these seven things you can do with the Word of God listed on a discipleship sheet that I want to share with you. But, again, you can simply email me, jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And if you email and get it, email us and let us know you want to get it. Be glad to send it to you. When you get it, read it and put it to work and put it to use in your own life, but pass it on to others as well. Forward it. Forward that same information on to other individuals, because remember, these are truths that will help any believer that will take it seriously. Again, seven powerful uses for the Word of God. Seven ways you can use God's Word every single day in your life. And remember also, every parent listening, parent, this is so important. This is so important that we teach and train and help our children to get into God's Word as well. Remember, we live in a world full of darkness. Darkness that comes from so many different directions at us and at our children. Remember this, so much of what's on television is just extreme darkness. Many of the video games that children play contain extreme darkness. Many of the things that the music that children listen to is full of darkness. And remember, this darkness, it does many destructive things. It's not good for anybody. It's like poison. It poisons the lives of those that walk in that darkness. But remember, God's Word is pure light. The Word of God is pure light. And so remember, in Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Parents, when you're helping your kids to read the Word of God, you're helping them to pour the light of God's Word into their mind and their heart. Parents, there's nothing our children need more than the light of the Word of God. Nothing that they need more. So I want to encourage every parent listening, make it your habit to call your children into the living room, or maybe go in the room with them and have them read the Word of God out loud to you. You could start, for example, in the book of Matthew and just let them read out loud. I want to encourage read out loud three chapters to you. Now, remember, it doesn't take long. You can read your average three chapters in about 12 to 15 minutes. It doesn't take a long period of time. You have four segments of 15 minutes in an hour, and you have 24 hours in a day. If you tell yourself, or you say to yourself and your children too, you just don't have time to do it, you are fooling yourself. You are lying to yourself. We have time for what we really want to do. Parents, in a very real sense, you can't afford not to do this, because our children desperately need the Word of God. Our children need God's Word more than we need the air that we breathe, whether we really realize that or not. So be sure, make it yourself, establish this habit to have your children read the Word of God out loud to you. Again, three chapters a day doesn't take long. That's about half the time of watching your average sitcom on TV, but it will bless them tremendously. Remember, you're pouring grace, peace, mercy, and light into their minds and their hearts as you have them to read. Help them to read God's Word every single day. Once again, that email is jparker@afa.net if you want to get the outline of what we're sharing today. Again, jparker@afa.net. One more time, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to email it to you. Like I say, when you get it, be sure and put it to use in your own life, in your own family's life, but also forward it to many other people so they too can receive the benefit of that insight and wisdom from the Word of God. In the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 55, powerful chapter, wonderful chapter you should read actually on a regular basis. Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 1, tells us these words. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. It shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Again, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 13. Notice again this portion in particular, starting with verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Remember, God's word, when God sends it out, it accomplishes what he sends it out to do. And when we put the word of God to work in our lives, it accomplishes great things in our hearts and in our lives, and in the lives of our children, we put the word of God to work in their lives as well. Again, parents, let's help our kids to read God's word every single day. It's a habit that you can establish that you will never, ever, ever regret, and that will bless your children for today, for the rest of their lives, and for all eternity as well. Hope you'll take time to start establish that. Again, we've said 7 powerful uses for God's word, 7 ways to put God's word to work in your life that are important, all of which are related to each other. None are quite the same. Again, those 7 things are: you can read the word of God daily. You can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. So when you're reading God's word, remember, again, you're taking in the wisdom, the counsel, the guidance of God's word. But also it's important to hear the word of God. You know, on a number of occasions in God's word, Christ said, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." Why would he say that? Because sometimes a person might have been listening to him and not really, really listening. And you know, you can do that if you choose to. You can read God's word, but not really, really hear it. That is, not really comprehend and pay attention to it to the point where you choose to put it to work in your life. You don't want to be one who just reads God's word, but you're not really hearing it. Remember, it's important to be hearers and doers of God's word. An Old Testament word that's a good word is a word that is hearken. Hearken means hear with an intention to do. We should live with a hearkening lifestyle where we hear the word of God with intention to not only hear it, but do what it says. So we should read God's word and hear it as well. Also, to believe it. You know, you can read God's word, but not believe it. You can read it, but not choose to put your faith and trust in what it says. You don't want to be one who just reads it to say you've read it. You're to read God's word, but also believe what his word says. Put your faith in the word of God. If God's word has said it, believe that it's true. Also, another way to work, put it to work is to speak the word of God. That is, speak the promises of God's word over your life. You know, in the book of Psalms, Psalm 1, it says, amongst other things, it says, whatever he does shall prosper. That's a good confession for you to speak over your life every day. Whatever I do prospers. You might say, well, that doesn't appear to be true in my life. That may be the way many people would react to reading that promise. Well, remember this, when you agree with God, you're never lying. You're telling the truth, and remember, you're speaking a truth, and as you speak it and stand on it, the manifestation of that truth can come to pass in your life more and more. So if you speak that promise, again, you're looking for the manifestation. And God in his timing will bring that manifestation as you stand on that word. But So remember then, not only should we read the Word of God, we should also speak the Word of God and speak the promises of God over us as well. Also, we're to obey God's Word. Don't just read it to say you've read it. We're to live the Word of God as well. You know, the first commandment tells us you should have no other gods before me. That means putting God first. To put God first is to put His Word first, to put His will first, and also to live out what He tells us to do as well. It's important that we, again, obey the Word of God. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Every day of our life, we're supposed to be involved in the sharing of the gospel and encouraging others to grow and helping others to grow in their faith. That's discipleship. It's sharing the gospel and helping others to grow in their faith. Now, you and I have to honestly ask ourselves, do I do that on a daily basis? And many believers, if they're honest, will have to say, no, they don't. And if we're not doing it, we're in disobedience. We're to become disciple makers. We're to be helping our children to be disciples, but also our coworkers at work and other people we come in contact with. And of course, if we pray and ask the Lord to help us to do this, the Lord will be glad to help us. But we're supposed to be obeying the Word of God, hearing it and doing it as well. Then to pray the Word of God. Well, a few moments ago, we prayed the Ten Commandments. That's one of the ways to pray the Word of God. Also, I share about a prayer book that we speak of often, one entitled Praying in Victory. You can find it at prayinginvictory.com online. Again, prayinginvictory.com. But it's a great book that has some biblically based prayers that you can pray on a daily basis. But praying God's Word is a very fruitful thing to do. We're to pray according to God's Word all the time. And then finally, then, we're to meditate on God's Word. Spend time reading and thinking on God's Word on a daily basis. But also, think on it, mull over it, allow it to churn in your mind, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak insight, revelation, and understanding to your mind and your heart. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to put it to work in these seven ways. And thank you for the many other ways we can put your word to work in our lives. Help us, Lord, to take the wonderful gift, the weapon of your word, and put it to work wonderfully in our lives every day. Help us as parents to be faithful to use it to help our children grow, to come to know Christ, and to grow up in their faith as well. We thank you and praise you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening to The Hour of Intercession. Once again, that email is jparker@afa.net if you'd like to get that outline. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for The Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.